Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Latin name for today's Sunday in the church year is Gaudete, rejoice. That's a nice word to hear when things are going well. It's a nice word to hear when things aren't going well, but things are about to change and go well. Rejoice. It's not such a nice word to hear, at least not an exuberant, loud cry of rejoice when things are going very poorly and they look to continue going very poorly. Imagine walking up to John the Baptist's prison as he's sitting in the darkness, waiting to die, and saying, "John, rejoice!" It's not the message at all that the Lord Jesus sent back to John when he sent messengers to Jesus to ask him that poignant question of today's gospel. Sometimes joy seems like it's just around the corner. Sometimes it seems very far away. What will bring true joy and happiness? What could make you ready to hear someone shout, "Rejoice!" Well, if only we could just get rid of sickness and disease and pain. If only we could just get rid of old age. If we could just get rid of the wickedness out there in the world. If we could just get rid of death. If we could just live together as human beings in this world without bitterness and rage and anger and violence. If we could just get rid of poverty so that everyone had enough to eat and a place to stay and maybe some of the comforts along the way. If we could just have stability in our lives without things constantly changing. If only we could have the respect of the world instead of its anger and hatred. Ask someone, what would bring you joy? And any of those things might be on the list. What you will likely not hear from anyone is to lose everything for the sake of gaining Christ. And yet that's exactly what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. He writes, "I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Savior, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." And it was just in the next chapter, which we'll hear next week, in the epistle where Paul writes to the Philippians, "And so I say to you, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." It was the words of today's introit. Joy in the loss of all things. Joy in sharing in Christ's sufferings, in being conformed, made to look like His death. Death upon the cross, that kind of death. Because at the end of the loss and the suffering is the righteousness of Christ given to you, which Jesus shares with the one who has faith in Him, and also, along with it, the resurrection from the dead and everlasting life in Him and with Him. That's buried beneath all of the loss. Now that is a truly Christian perspective of joy and happiness. But it doesn't come naturally to any of us. It didn't even come naturally to the greatest prophet of all time, to John the Baptist. John knew that he was the messenger prophesied in today's first lesson from Malachi chapter 3, "Behold, I send my messenger before you." John knew he was that messenger, knew that Jesus was the one to whom he was pointing. He believed it, and yet the circumstances over the last couple of years led him to start to wonder. He apparently believed that the description of the Christ in Malachi's words in chapter 3 was a prophecy that was speaking about external things that the Christ would do when he came. As you heard, who can endure the day of his coming? That is, the coming of the Christ. And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And then it goes on to say the things that he'll be against. He'll be against adultery and perjury and idolatry. But what did John witness? What did he see during the course of his short ministry that overlapped with Jesus' ministry? He saw himself in prison, even though he had faithfully heralded Jesus as the Christ. He faithfully preached God's word of rebuke to King Herod for having his sister's wife as his own, which was adultery. And for all that, he was thrown into prison. He saw the priests around him whom the Christ was supposed to come and turn into righteous servants. He saw them rejecting Jesus and being just as cruel and as wicked to the people of Israel as they had ever been. He saw people still getting sick, still growing old, still dying. He saw just as many poor people on the streets of Israel as there had ever been, and no sign that Jesus was going to make any real difference in any of the things that trouble mankind. Joy, happiness, the Christ didn't seem to be bringing any of that with him. Can the kingdom of the Christ really be so dismal? So John, sitting in prison, sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus the question, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" It was an honest question and a good question to ask, if you're wondering, but a question teetering on unbelief. It did leave open the possibility that Jesus was still the coming one, was the Christ, but it also left open the chance that maybe he wasn't. That's a very precarious place for faith to be, to think that Jesus might be the Christ, the Son of the living God, or maybe not. You can't rest the future of your eternal soul on something that might be true, or on someone who might not be the Christ. That would be the death of faith, which is, as the writer to the Hebrews says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or as Luther translates Hebrews chapter 11, faith is a certain confidence in that which one hopes, and not to doubt that which one does not see. So Jesus gave John's disciples what he needed to hear to pull him back from the brink. Not, "Rejoice, John, everything's wonderful." But what? "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. It's not like Jesus was getting rid of all of the wrongs in the world. He wasn't overturning all the sickness and the suffering and the consequences of sin. But he was getting rid of bits and pieces of it in the lives of the sick who were brought to him in Israel, as the Old Testament prophesied that the Christ would do. Blind men were receiving their sight. The lame were being given their legs back. The lepers were being cleansed. The deaf were being made to hear. And even a few of the dead were being raised back to life. Not all suffering, not the majority of Israel's suffering or of the world's suffering was being eradicated, but the fact that any were being miraculously healed was a sure sign that Jesus was the Christ. His plan for his kingdom might not be clear, may not be visible at all, but there can be no doubt that he is the King. And then there were the poor. The poor were not being made unpoor at all, financially speaking. We don't know a single poor person who was raised up out of poverty by Jesus. But what does Jesus say? The poor have the gospel preached to them. Just like Isaiah had prophesied that the Christ would do in chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. What are the good tidings? What is the gospel? That God has provided a sacrifice for rich and poor alike. That God shows no favoritism for rich or poor. That all have sinned and are justified solely by faith in Christ Jesus. That whoever has Christ has something far better than earthly riches. He has a place in God's kingdom now, God's righteousness as a cloak to wear now, and the hope of an eternal joy-filled future in God's kingdom after this life. Oh, but that sounds like this life could still be tough. Like this life could still be filled with pain and loss, even though Christ has come, even though his kingdom is at hand and his reign is now going on at God's right hand. Sure enough, Christian joy here on earth doesn't involve getting rid of the bad stuff. It shines through the bad stuff, even if it's buried deep beneath it. And so Jesus calls out to John the Baptist through his disciples, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Some people are offended because of Jesus. They stumble over him for many reasons. They don't want a Savior when they think they can save themselves. They don't like the idea of giving up the sin that they've come to love so much. Or they think that he should be the kind of king who takes away the suffering and the loss and establishes his kingdom here on earth. But he came to give himself into death in order to rule over people who are willing to give themselves into death, to lose everything, even their own lives, for the sake of gaining him and eternal life with him. If you aren't willing to lose everything, even your earthly life, for the sake of having eternal life with Jesus, if that joy isn't bright enough to shine through the bad stuff, then you will eventually lose it all. But blessed is he who is not offended because of Jesus, because he says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There is joy to be found beneath all the loss. As John's disciples departed, Jesus spoke to the crowds who were still gathered there. He began to say to them concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you,' as we heard from Malachi in chapter 3. Jesus drives home the point to the crowds. You didn't go out to hear John in the wilderness, dressed as he was in camel's hair, because he was prosperous or a prosperity preacher, did you? You didn't listen to him because he was cool or relatable or because he told you nice things that you wanted to hear. No, you went out to hear him, even though he was strange in many ways, even though he spoke harshly and coarsely and seriously, because his words had the ring of truth to them. They had the ring of a true prophet of God. And he was. In fact, Jesus affirms for us that John was that prophesied messenger who would prepare the way for the messenger, for the Christ. Well, if you didn't go out to hear him because he said nice things and did nice things for you, then you shouldn't expect the Christ to offer you earthly prosperity either, or the removal of life's burdens, or any nice-sounding things. He's already told you that he didn't come at his first advent to offer you those things. What you should expect from him is the truth and compassion and sympathy and mercy in dealing with the losses of this life, because he came to share in all those losses in order to purchase you for God. He died so that you might live, not live a trouble-free life or easy life on earth, but live in God's grace and favor in the midst of the troubles, and then live in God's presence in the trouble-free life that Christ's second advent will usher in. The losses of this life are designed in part to keep you looking up and longing for that advent and for the joy that awaits when Christ finally comes. And the knowledge, the hope, the certainty of that final victory over sin and death when he comes, over the trials and troubles and losses of this life, is what will enable you to find the joy buried beneath the losses. And the word rejoice will sound and has sounded and always sounds forth in the church. Just remember that the word rejoice is just as valid whether it comes as a loud cry or whether it comes as a whisper. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.